The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Monday, Gary, how are you?
Good. Let me listen to this audio.
Okay? All right. What do you got?
I'm not done with the show preparation yet.
Okay.
And so I haven't listened to this audio cut, but I want to play it because we might use it later on in the show. You never know.
Sure. Why not?
You know, it's Larry Kudlow yesterday on the Sunday morning news shows.
Okay? Right. Okay.
The president's chief economic advisor. All right. Here we go.
Denmark owns Greenland. Denmark is an ally. Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president, who knows a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look.
We're not buying Greenland, by the way.
No.
I thought we put this to rest on Friday.
Yeah.
So there he is. Greenland said they're not for sale.
Well, everybody says that at first.
it's a negotiating tactic.
Yes. Greenland's like, how much are they going to give us? Well, they said $200 and an Amazon gift card. We could probably get three.
I just wanted to see what how far the Greenland talk was going this weekend. It's like, it's not happening, please.
Yeah.
I understand how it's strategic. We're just not buying Greenland. Greenland isn't up for sale. So,
No.
And Congress would have to pass that. And that, look, all right, I'm not saying it's not in the realm of possibility of happening. But I believe we'll buy Canada first.
Oh, yeah.
And none of that will be in my lifetime.
Actually, I think we'll just take Canada.
Look, it probably was something the president was just talking about, as presidents probably talk about a million things that never get publicized. But if this president says something and the media thinks they can make a story out of it, boom, they go with it.
Yeah, right.
You know, how many thousands of things does every president have a discussion on, things that never happen? But of course, as we said, if it's this president, it's like, boom, it's just going to, you know, be the top news. Why would he want to buy Greenland? Well, because it's got minerals and probably could do a ton of mining there. And it's a strategic outlook or very, very strategic place, especially for ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missiles. If people don't know what they are.
Right, right.
Tracking stations.
Yep.
You know, so and also China's trying to get in on Greenland. Mm-hmm. China's trying to do a ton of investment in Greenland. So, of course, that question would come up. It's not a bizarre question at all. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Yes.
It's not going to happen. And if it does, then, you know, it will be, I think it will be one of those, it wasn't really that great of a transition or that great of a transaction. It wasn't that great of a purchase. We'll just move along. It'll be kind of like, I was going to throw a state out there. Then I thought, we're nationwide. Hold on. Wait, we're worldwide. I was about to make fun of North Dakota, but I guess I won't do that. Okay, fine.
Fine. Somebody's going to call and say, yeah, and somebody thought the Louisiana purchase was stupid, too.
Well, it was. And I'm okay with saying it was. Everybody else is just lying.
Alaska, what do you think?
Nobody cares about Alaska. They're not fully in yet. You guys aren't even connected.
If you're not connected.
Until we take the entire western half of Canada, right, you guys just get to play along.
Yes.
As if you're really a state. Greenland.
We've got great listeners in Alaska.
We do.
And yeah, we really, really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what is that? I'm trying to think. Alaska isn't the last territory that we bought.
No.
It's just the one that we know. It's just the one that gets a lot of publicity.
Yeah, no, the last territory we bought was Kern County.
Let's put it this way. Hey, Greenland, you're no Alaska. I've seen Alaska, and Greenland, you're no Alaska.
Alaska. Yeah. It's not gonna happen. If it did, it would be in the middle of the night. It'd be like one of those eBay purchases, you know, like in the final few seconds, you bid higher. The president's online, and he just happens to throw in a bid at the last second, and he gets it by accident.
Well, we did ask on Friday. I mean, the president's talking about, if he's discussing about buying stuff, is he talking about selling anything?
Yes.
Because as a Wheeler dealer, I mean, you're thinking about, California.
Mm-hmm. North Dakota and Alaska.
We're not selling North Dakota.
We're not?
No. We want the oil.
All right, South Dakota. West Dakota.
West.
So, West Dakota. Hey, would you like to, it'd be like the guy in the email. Just send me $5,000 and I'll give you $5 million later on. We're going to sell you West Dakota.
We're not selling Alaska. We're not selling North Dakota.
We need to stop and think about Alaska, though.
Energy.
Okay.
And
we really wouldn't want to sell California because the energy's there. They just don't want to go get it.
And that means that no. What is the? I can't think of the reality. It's not a reality show. It's sort of the documentary on people buying the homes in Alaska. You ever seen that one?
Yeah.
The home buying in Alaska. I really like that show.
Right.
Now, they're still playing Alaska State Troopers a lot, but, that's been gone, but they're playing the repeats. They seem to be playing it a lot lately. But I love the show where people go up and try to find homes in Alaska. That is the coolest thing. And then I think to myself, what kind of jobs do they have where they can afford to buy these places and live in the middle of nowhere, and they're in their young 30s?
Well, I wonder, how much time out of the year can they spend up here? I mean, if it's a vacation home, I guess they could rent it out and then vacation there. Alaska's beautiful. I've never been there, but everything that I see on Alaska State Troopers is really gorgeous. I would just think it would be really, really a harsh place to live if you were going. I mean, you would have to be a hardy person. I'm not that hardy.
I always wonder with those shows, because I love Alaska State Troopers, but let's be honest. Mm-hmm. In all the cop shows, except maybe for the new one, was it the live cop thing where they do it live?
Yeah. What's that called? PD Live?
PD Live. I've never seen it once.
Yeah.
But in all the different cop shows, one of the biggest complaints, because it was on over the weekend, it was just on in the background. As I was reading Ball of Collusion, Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah,
I got it on my phone. So, and I'll talk about that here in a little bit here, because I only got through a little bit of it, but it's exactly it's exactly how we would explain it. By the way, just so you know, how Andrew McCarthy did it. I went, oh, that's how we would do it. But Alaska State Troopers was on, and it's like every single person they pull over, something's wrong. The vast majority of the time, something is wrong. And let's be honest. Any stop that a police officer makes, how many times does a person end up going to jail? And how many times are they actually carrying drug paraphernalia? Because it seems like every stop. Mm-hmm. And so people get ticked off in those communities and say, well, wait a minute. You make it seem like everybody who's pulled over is a drug addict or a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
the fear I have with watching the PD Live or whatever it is that they'll be pulling up at my place. Wow, that looks just like my place. I better put a shirt on. I do wonder, though. I mean, it is interesting. All this whole Greenland thing took off almost like, not quite to the extent that California seceding did, because California seceding just it actually went to the point of you know, petitions and they were doing all this. Then you get the Area 51 people. That we knew that wasn't going to go anywhere. But
oh, is that dead? By the way, is that dead now? Are we done with that before it even started?
I'm guessing. I'm hoping. But how many things are catching fire just by throwing it out there? Now, of course, doesn't hurt that the president himself is talking about it. But it was, you know, one of these conversations that took off in social media that is always interesting to watch and doesn't go away, and everybody applies their theory to it. I mean, you could look at it, certainly, again, strategically, we know what the benefit would be, but there are two things. It ain't going to happen, and number two, it ain't going to happen.
I like the guy who owns the golf course in Greenland that they interviewed, and it's only open 4 months of the year. The rest of the time, it's covered with snow.
Right.
And he said, well, before the president does the guy was great. Before the president does this, he should come up and play golf here first. And if he does, he may not want to buy it. It's not as pristine as a golf course as you might find in the state. So that was pretty funny. But it was just all this really isn't on the substance of buying Greenland because it's not going to happen. It is the coverage of the media and the way that they just jump on something that when we heard it, we said, look, folks, you know, president probably said it. Somebody heard it. Next thing you know, it becomes a huge story. Why would you want to buy Greenland? Here's a stupid president wanting to buy Greenland. And so the media all has to jump up. Can we get a stupid answer from the president or from one of his aides talking about Greenland when there are a million things that presidents talk about that never make it to the media?
Right.
So we said it on Friday. We said, look, folks, it's not going to happen. You know, I could see if you're talking about strategically, what would be a strategic place? You know, look, Guam may tip over. And if Guam tips over,
it's kind of leaning right now.
If Guam tips over, we're going to need, you know, we might need Greenland. And all of a sudden it becomes the story that has legs on it. I think it'll die now. I think since the Sunday morning news shows got on it, it'll die after that. But
I'm not sure it'll die completely until we actually buy Greenland. You know, they say that could happen. We'll just start it all over again. Hey, did you guys hear that we're going to buy Greenland?
What does AOC think about it? Let's get AOC's opinion on it.
Well, we could move one of the football teams there. We could have the Greenland Packers. They're already used to the cold weather. You know, I mean, there are a number of things we could do. I just think that we could make use of it or make fun of it. We could mock Greenland.
One or the other.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Coming up on the show, like we said, Bill Maher is now the oppressor.
Yeah, you just have to get in line. I mean, if you're a liberal, you're already in line.
Yes.
You may not know you're in line, but you're in line. And you'll be called out at some point.
Going after Tlaib and the BDS and movement and going after the American media, too.
Right.
Seeing the American media looks at this as a completely one-sided issue and forgets, you know, they make it seem like that these, well, you know, Tlaib came out over the weekend and also said that Israel is like, you know, like an apartheid state, like South Africa.
Right.
I mean, you can't, these people are out of their minds. I mean, they really, really are, to the point where and Bill Maher can be a stupid liberal. Believe me, he could be a stupid liberal many, many times. But he even gets to the point for him where it's like, come on. What? History doesn't matter at all? It's as if the situation just began today, as if there's no history before, and Israel is this oppressor of the peaceful. Well, he said, look, for the Democrats, they make it, I believe it's more religious. He called it because Israel is white and the Palestinians are brown, it's a racist thing.
Right.
I would disagree. I say it's more of a religious thing.
Yeah.
Then it would be there. But that's how he explained the liberal. And everybody in the panel, including Senator Whitehouse, who's a nut. I mean, that guy's a nut. He even agreed. Oh, yeah, I agree with him. And so you can't. This is the point we try to make, that in this day and age, if you make the correct and right argument, the left can't argue with you.
Well, and you're immediately going to be called out and you're the oppressor. You're filled with hate because you told the truth.
Right. But they still can't argue
no.
with them.
No.
When you're on with they may later on say things about you, but then you confront it direct right back in their face, and you can beat them on every argument. We've talked about this before. It's why it's so frustrating with Republicans and this administration sometimes, because you can win the argument every time. There doesn't have to be any controversy. You can win it slam dunk every time, and every argument, shut the door on them and make them look like idiots and not get in a debate and not be on the defensive.
Well, and it's the reason they go to the whole you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a Nazi thing, because they can't make the argument. They can't debate.
That coming up here, the president hits Fox News and says Juan Williams always mean and wrong. Oh, now, come on. The president's a little bit incorrect. He's half wrong on that one. Williams is not always mean. He is always wrong. Colin Kaepernick calls for kneeling to start up again. Lindsey Graham says a report on the Russian probe will be ugly and damning. Trump says Tim Cook from Apple made a compelling case against tariffs, as Navarro was on the Sunday Morning News show saying tariffs are no problems. Why more politicians are cursing, and one addiction that socialized medicine will not cover. This was a fascinating story I found over the weekend. That and more coming up, plus your calls and comments. We got a great show, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Also, the Rasmussen poll out there that shows that voters trust political news about as much as they trust Wikipedia. And the analysis was, and we'll have some audio coming up here from Scott Rasmussen, who said, and it's really interesting, people look at the national reporters as political activists.
Sure.
And as you know, we have said that for the longest time. That when people say, well, the media needs to change and they need to, you know, maybe now they'll find some journalistic integrity after they've blown it. You know, we heard that a lot after the Mueller report came out. Well, maybe they'll find some journalistic integrity. We went, no, they'll just go to the next thing. They're never going to find journalistic integrity because they're not journalists. They are political activists. And so you're talking about the wrong profession. Journalism in a great number of media outlets today just does not exist anymore.
No.
And so you're going to get political activism. And once you get political activism, people know they can figure it out. So we'll get to that polling also coming up here. Plus your calls and comments if you'd like to get in. 866-90-RED-EYE.
For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
This could be one of the most rain-free days of the summer season thus far, according to the surface map. We're totally dry in the west of the Rockies. The fire conditions becoming more prevalent due to the low humidity and the lack of precip. We won't see that monsoonal moisture flow into the desert southwest become a big factor today. Along the Gulf Coast, things are drying out after some spotty showers over the weekend. Then along the eastern seaboard, we'll finally get some movement out of a stationary front pushing off to the east. The nation's heartland that saw some severe weather last week is dry for the most part. We'll see that low-pressure area in northern Canada continue to sweep some showers into the nation's heartland. Spotty showers throughout the day for places like central Illinois and Indiana. Most of the showers today associated with the garden variety late afternoon thunderstorms. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
could get very ugly very quickly. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. We were just talking about that Rasmussen poll. Scott Rasmussen on a Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson yesterday, talking about the media in general and about how people, the majority of Americans, view them as political activists. Here's just part of that.
78% of voters say that what reporters do with political news is promote their agenda. They think they use incidents as props for their agenda rather than seeking to accurately record what happened, the report.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
They do. 78% of voters say that what reporters do with political news is promote their agenda. They think they use incidents as props for their agenda rather than seeking accurately to record what happens. Only 14% think a journalist is actually reporting what happened. If a reporter found out something that would hurt their favorite candidate, only 36% of voters think that they would report that. So, and here's the important part. It's something that you and I have talked about before. So voters are looking at them as political activists, not as a source of information. And they go back to the the kid in the Native American activist. I just can't think of.
Sandman.
Sandman, yes. Mm-hmm. That the poll was taken. Rasmussen talked about the poll was taken of Americans who they thought was at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, conservatives, Republicans, stood behind Sandman. Even when it initially came out, they didn't believe it. And the left stood behind the Native American activists.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, after it was reported, and I think, remember, we played even Whoopi Goldberg from The View, who said, well, people really jumped on this too soon before they knew it. A week later, when everything was hashed out and we found out that Sandman was not the aggressor, the polling numbers didn't change at all. The facts did not change at all what Democrats and the left initially saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear to anybody who's watching that this is activism. Or consuming the news. It's not always watching. Well, if you're reading or watching, you're seeing. What are you seeing? You know, they use words like analysis when they actually mean opinion. Analysis would be breaking down the event that occurred, or like in the election season, okay, here's what happened. Here were the demographics that voted for Trump. Here were the demographics that voted for his opponent. That kind of thing. So they want you to believe it's more thoughtful, that their opinion is more thoughtful, so they use a word like analysis, which is a load of crap. It's opinion. And it's opinion attached to a very strong agenda. And they don't care. They really don't. I mean, it's like AOC. AOC doesn't care who the Speaker of the House is. If she's a racist, she's a racist. That's according to AOC. She doesn't care. The left media doesn't care about what their job is supposed to be. They don't care that they're supposed to be finding the facts. No, the agenda is all that matters. So in the AOC world, it's no surprise. Well, in fact, I would say it was inevitable that we got an AOC from the activism that's been going on in the American media for a long, long time.
What I've always found more fascinating than the media covering it, because I don't agree with it, but I understand why reporters will become political activists, because they truly don't go in for journalism. They go in to promote what they believe, and they believe that journalism is the way to do it. We don't. We believe journalism is about telling the facts. In fact, we'll make the case that even with our extreme biases, we're not going to hide a story. We cover every story that's out there, and we're not afraid to say, I voted for that guy and that guy's wrong. We've never been afraid to do that. We don't know how to do that in any different way, but that comes from how we act as citizens. The most interesting thing is when people know what the facts are and still continue with the false narrative. One thing that isn't being covered in this is the media. A lot of the media is responding to what the actual people out there want. You come up with a narrative, and you and I talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. Why do people really don't know about a situation, hear an opinion, an emotional opinion, and stick with it irrespective of what the facts are? And part of what I believe it is it's easier to do that. That a lot of people are lazy, and it's a lot easier to believe that I'm on the right side and my narrative is correct, irrespective of what the facts are out there, because once the facts come in, you have to start doing your research to actually find out whether what you believe is really what's going on or not, and a lot of people don't do that. I think that's why conspiracy theories are so popular today.
Sure.
To me, conspiracy theory, the theorists out there, are lazy people. I don't care about what the facts are. I like living in my dream world because it's easy. It's easy to do this. It's easy to promote a narrative that's false but is emotionally satisfying, and it's emotionally satisfying because I believe I'm on the right side, and it's also emotionally satisfying because then I can use the argument, and we've dealt with this with conspiracy theorists before, well, prove that it's wrong instead of proving that it's right, and they believe that they can sit on some sort of high horse by saying, I'm the only one reporting this, and you prove that it's not the case, and they found their little niche of what they believe is their little media niche where they can go out and promote their own little agenda without ever having to deal with the truth.
I mean, that's who they've been for a while. And again, it's no surprise that we get an AOC in the same, a time span, because it is, for her, she's her own hero. For each of these journalists, they're their own hero. They don't need anybody else. Everybody else is their oppressor. They're on their own cause. If you look at the way it is, it used to be that the left media was caring a lot for the party, right? For the cause of the Democratic Party. It's not that way anymore. Each of them, if you look at them, they've kind of splintered off into each of these little activists, their own little activist world. And that's all they care about. And some will tell you, well, they're just trying to make their mark. They're just trying to, get their fame, their 15 minutes. But actually, they're just trying to, which may be true in part, but they're trying to do the same thing that the AOCs of the world are, and that's, it's all about me. I don't care about anybody else, even on my own side. I don't care about anybody else. This is all about me, me, me. I'm the boss. I don't need a hero. I don't need you, regardless of who you are, and I'll come after you, regardless of who you are. And they're not afraid to do that anymore. I mean, they'll go after somebody on the left. Beto was the rock star for about 10 seconds when he started running for president. No, it was over. And they don't care. Biden still shows that in some polls has been showing that he could beat Trump. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Bernie in 2016 was everything. I mean, to the far left, especially during the surge when he went out west and he was winning. Anymore? No. No. And why is that? Because those activist reporters, those activist media have all splintered off the same way the other leftists have. Mm-hmm. And it really has become a group of these AOCs just walking around, and it's just like Barack Obama said. The former president saying it's a circular firing squad, and he was talking about the primary season, but really it's the entire left, far left especially, as a group.
And I will say this. I believe, look, we deal in it. We're conservative libertarian, and you and I have talked about how for years we have had disagreements with Republicans based on issues, and we talk about the issues all the time. I don't know if anybody else notices, but I did notice that since Bill Maher has taken on Tlaib, it's as if the media just ignores it because they don't know which side to take.
Yeah, right.
They don't know where to go at this moment because Bill Maher. Now again, Tlaib marginalized him and actually said that his show should be boycotted.
Well,
it's like, well, okay, here's where we go now. And that's where I said Bill Maher's now an oppressor of Tlaib. I don't know how far that will go within the Democrat Party. It's almost as if they need a few days to digest it. You actually can't look at the facts or the truth. You have to pick the how do you pick that side? For us, it's easy. For us, you and I, it's easy to pick a side because we base it on the substance of the ideas. But with Bill Maher doing that, I almost was like, even on social media, it's like all of my whacked out liberal acquaintances that I know on social media completely quiet on that whole Bill Maher Tlaib thing.
Mm-hmm.
As if they don't know where, and they're the first to jump on anything that's political. Complete, total silence.
And you can't, because it's like we said about the NFL. I don't care if you hire Jay-Z. Nobody, the activists don't care about Jay-Z.
That's starting up now.
You know, it's like you believe, you know, it's like the NFL believes that Jay-Z is going to now go in and close the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't close the door.
No.
But when they jumped in, they thought they were going to close the door. How about all the teams kneel? We'll just do that. And Jerry Jones, since he's in Texas, he can kneel before the anthem. See, we get away with that because that will look like we're all together. We're unified. No. Well, okay. What if we hire Jay-Z? I don't know if the NFL whispers in their meetings.
I was going to say, who's doing this whisper?
Sure.
This weird, frightening whispering.
Like Jim Gaff. It's like Jim Gaffigan. Does he know he's whispering?
Yeah. Well, no, McGavigan can pull it off.
Oh, well, McGavigan's just brilliant. He's funny. But they do. They believe, and this is why no one can jump in. You can't jump in because you can't win. I don't care who you are. Jay-Z and all of his money can't win.
We'll get
Jay-Z and all of his and his wife's money can't win.
We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit, but I thought that poll was fascinating from Rasmussen, just because it does show that the public knows. The public knows the media isn't media. They understand that it's political activism.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Sean and more, your calls and comments coming up here following the top of the hour. You know, when we talk about the Rasmussen poll talk, which stated that 78% of people believe that their reporters are really political activists.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, you have to understand that so is a ton of the viewership or listening audience of the media. And one perfect example is, I deal with this more than anything. How many Democrats do you know when you tell them the Democrat Party is for open borders, they say, no, they're not. And then you explain it to them, sanctuary city policy. You explain to them that they wish to decriminalize. They wish to give free health care, which means once you decriminalize and give free health care, you give an incentive for everybody to cross the border. Well, yeah, but they're not really for open borders.
Mm-hmm.
You can present it to them on a plate that the Democrats are for open borders. But the problem is still, I think, half, and I think even probably you might find a majority of the Democrat voter is against open borders.
Yes.
Yet they still will not come to the realization that that's what their party is about. It's like they refuse. It's like, it's bad news. I'm not going to listen. I don't believe it. And others, when you bring it up, will say, well, that's not true. They didn't say that. Well, yeah, they did. Here it is. Well, you took it out of context. No, we didn't. Almost like the caller, remember the caller we got when we said Obama wanted to skyrocket electricity prices. And this is years after. You guys are lying about that. We played the audio cut.
Well, and it's almost like gay marriage, too, where going in, Obama wouldn't commit on the gay marriage thing, and everybody knew where he stood, and you had, even on the left in general, you had a lot of people not coming out and promoting gay marriage until later on. Right now, they're not promoting open borders, but my question is, how long until we see T-shirts with open borders on it?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. And we say that because you can, we stream live on redeyeradioshow.com all over the world.
We do.
Everywhere. Speaking about all over the world, Bill Maher kicked off the show's panel segment on Friday by asking if it was fair to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel in the wake of the clash between the Israeli government and the pro-BDS U.S. Representatives Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar over their planned visit to Israel. But since Maher's panelists, this is from Fox News, all sidestepped the question, he decided to answer it himself, and he said that. He said, well, since you all sidestepped it, I'll answer it myself.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's a BS, he used the full word, purity test. BDS is BS, again, the full word, purity test by people who want to appear woke but actually slept through history class, Maher said, drawing loud cheers from the audience. It's predicated on this notion. I think it's very shallow thinking that the Jews in Israel are mostly white and the Palestinians are mostly brown, so they must be innocent and correct and the Jews must be wrong, as if the occupation came right out of the blue, that this completely peaceful people found themselves occupied. Forget about the infadas and the suicide bombings and the rockets and how many wars. He quoted the BDS movement founder who said, quote, no Palestinian, rational Palestinian, not a sellout Palestinian, will ever accept a Jewish state in Palestine. So that's where this comes from, this movement. Someone who doesn't even want a Jewish state at all, as we brought up on Friday's show.
Mm-hmm.
Maher told the panel, somehow this side never gets represented in the American media. It's very odd. It's not odd.
No, it's not hot at all. It's by design.
And he noted discrimination of Jews worldwide and said, and then Congresswoman Omar has said things like, it's all about the Benjamins. Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awake the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. She's apologized for it. But it's out there. So there you go. I see why they don't get heroes' welcomes, he added. Well, duh. Of course, Tlaib came out for a boycott, divestment, and sanctioning of Bill Maher's show on HBO.
Yeah, of course.
So now he is the oppressor. Well, Bill Maher, if you want to know why the right looks at the media today and is upset, let's see next time Maher laughs at conservatives saying that the media is biased, because that's what he just said right there. How can you ignore the history? How can you look at this and believe it's only one-sided? Media bias.
That's it.
They have a narrative that they're trying to push, Bill. Duh!
Well, and again, there is sometimes the collective common thread narrative, right? And then, as we were talking about earlier, it also is each individual activist that is on the smaller level. It doesn't matter which news organization they're a part of. They've got their own personal agenda, whether it's for their 15 minutes of fame or just their agenda, their attention. I mean, if you think about it, it really is, with the far left, it never has been necessarily about the 15 minutes of fame, but certainly about the attention. And I know those two are kind of like the same, but they really don't need the big stage. They just need everybody's attention now, but they always need everybody's attention. That's the whole point. They're always screaming at the top of their lungs, like we said. I used to say 1,000 kids in a gymnasium. It's 1,000,000 kids in a gymnasium screaming at the same time. They don't care what the other kids are screaming about. But this is where they are. This is, the media is not going to turn around. I mean, for 10 seconds or so, they said, you know, after the election last time, we need to go to the heartland more. Then they came back from lunch and said, what were we thinking? And that's not going to happen. They're not going to reverse this course. There is nothing that will reverse this course.
Well, as we've said with a significant portion of the Middle East and Israel, Israel is a republic like we are. That's what one of the major differences are. Israel is a modern Western society with modern Western views. End of story.
Yes.
And if you can't see that, that's what Bill Maher was saying. If you can't see that, well, then you're just holding up a blind eye to it. It's that simple.
Right.
You really can't say anything else about it. And so for Bill, it was really interesting, though, because when Bill Maher said it, I went, okay, what's the response going to be? And everybody's been really, really quiet about it. But one of the most liberal members, I mean, a complete, total whack job, in my opinion, Senator Whitehorse was on there, and Whitehouse was on there, I agree with, you know, he there was a Republican who, you know, very, you know, looked at Bill Maher and said, yeah, I agree with you completely, and he, Senator, looked at him and said, I agree with him. Mm. And this is a guy who's normally whacked out. And you couldn't argue with Bill Maher when this again, we've said this over and over again. Since they are political activists, you can go after anybody in the media. You can win the arguments. Conservatives can win the arguments because, as we have said before, when you're a socialist and you're a radical, you can never tell the truth.
Right. That's it. You can't debate the facts. So what do you have to do every time your so-called reality has to become bigger and bolder? And what do they always do? They go to the extreme, which is whoever they're countering in that moment is a Nazi, is the oppressor. But not just an oppressor, the worst oppressor of all time. And they've done that endlessly against this president.
Right. But realize, it wasn't the start with this president.
No, he's the result.
Right. He's the result. Bush was Hitler.
Right. I think the same with AOC. I think she's not, you know, she's not, and a lot of people, well, she stirs up a lot. She's the result of allowing this kind of behavior for a long, long time. I mean, you tolerate that behavior, and all of a sudden someone like that is going to win an election or two.
I really wonder how many rank and file Democrats, we hear from them once in a while, we're talking about the Democrat voter, looks at their party and says, what? And this goes back to when we were talking about the Rasmussen poll about how the people of this country know that the most of the national reporters out there are pushing a political agenda, that they're political activists. They're not actual reporters there. Right. But I said part of that has to do with the fact that, and I will look at the left for these examples here, and that's why I used open borders. The majority of people I know that are Democrats, they're not for open borders.
Right.
But they don't confront their own party on that, like conservatives and others will go after the Republican Party when they feel the Republican Party has gone awry.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But,
sure.
But you have this case, and I use open borders because obviously it's where the Democrat Party is going. But you talk to a rank and file voter who was against open borders, and they'll swear up and down that you're making it up. Our party really doesn't want it. Okay, you got a few radicals. No, you don't.
No.
This is where, and when you break it down for them, they just go, "Well, I don't believe everything that you're saying." You're the party for sanctuary cities. You're the party that is promoting the fact that illegal immigrant criminals and their freedom is more important than the safety and security of American citizens. You can point out the examples of it. It doesn't matter.
No.
They have a narrative in their head. The media gets away with it because the public at large, and in this case, the examples I'm using, Democrats allow themselves to live in a world of delusion.
Yes. Over and over again.
It happened. The media can do this because the public accepts it. Yep. Now, maybe not as much, because we see the ratings problems that CNN and MSNBC is having right now.
Okay, but is that... here's the question.
Is that part of
exactly what we're talking about? Because if AOC doesn't care about the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, if one of these individuals with that mindset doesn't... Well, they don't care about CNN anymore. They don't care about MSNBC.
Well, but wait a minute. Here's the other point. I thought you were going down this road.
Mm.
I thought you were going to go down this road and say, well, wait a minute, Gary. When you look at the whole Mueller report,
mm-hmm.
when the Mueller report wasn't what they wanted and it was reported by their own networks, they turned off their own networks because they don't want to hear it because Trump is guilty no matter what.
That's the side of it.
Yeah.
Or is it that they haven't delivered? Because we talked about Adam Schiff for how long he was saying, for the better part of 2 years, at least 18 months or so, I have evidence of collusion, that he was working with the Russians. Then at the end, when the payoff came, it was the meeting with the Russian lawyer, Veselnitskaya, the Trump Jr. meeting. Are you kidding me? That wasn't it. You were making it up. You were lying, and you used that as your exit ramp. That's a lie. And the far left sees through that because we said back then, look, Adam Schiff, for those who support his side, even if you don't support him, you've got to be calling him out because he's got the evidence.
Right.
Which means that it's a done deal. He's seen the evidence.
Democrats, we were doing your job. We were calling him out saying, look, tell us what it is.
And
you weren't doing that.
Well, and the media did that. How many times it was done over and over again? You know, when the Papadopoulos and the Manafort indictments were coming down and then the president tweeted no collusion, and then you have the New York Times reporter saying he was tweeting no collusion on the day they were proving collusion. No, they weren't.
No.
Like it was a matter of fact, but the facts don't matter. That's the problem. You know, you mentioned something about the Republicans earlier about going after their own. Well, the Democrats now, well, the far left activists will go after their own, but not for the same reason. The Republicans were going, or conservatives, let me say it this way, conservatives were and still do go after their own for abandoning the principles of what once were the principles of the Republican Party. And that's it. When you abandon those core principles, we talked about the president and border security. While he did the flip-flop on any of the visa things during the actual debate season, that was not abandoning the core principle of border security.
No.
It was not. While we can have the debate on whether or not terrorists work are a positive or a negative for the economy, for the record, they're a negative, then you could still talk about whether the president believes, because we don't know what he believes, and we do believe he wants the economy to thrive. There's no doubt in my mind he's not trying to kill the economy. But then you look at the left, and when they're going after their own, it's not because the left is abandoning principles. It's because they're not doing the extreme move of the moment. They're not on to whatever the new thing is.
Yeah,
because
that's
they
a
went,
great point. Yeah,
they went on from border security back in as late as 2014, and I mean leaders of the party, big-name Democrats calling for barriers, walls, border security to open borders in 2019, 5 short years, and that is a 180. The president isn't anywhere close to that. He may have some details he wants to work out on legal immigration, but no.
So what you're saying is conservatives go after the Republican Party for abandoning their principles. The far left goes after their leaders, their party leaders,
for not abandoning their principles.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on trip planning. Do you realize how much your truck idles during a year? A truck can go through about a gallon of fuel per hour of idling. Studies have shown that long-haul tractor trailers idle about 1,830 hours a year. That's a lot of fuel use. But drivers know idling is essential to regulate the cab for sleeping. Consider using an auxiliary power unit to increase driver comfort and reduce idle time. Remember that some jurisdictions around the country have regulations that limit trucks' idling time. Fines can reach into the thousands of dollars. Before heading out on your trip, keep an updated list of state and local idling regulations handy in your cab. There are more than 65 of them right now, and it's challenging to know them all. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Sean in Seattle. Sean, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Sean.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Very good. Very good.
That whole thing about the news and the reporting, being a truck driver, been out here for over 30 years, and recently, over the last 10 years, there have been more and more and more actual liberal-minded truck drivers that I talk to at night, you know, keep each other awake, listening to your show and other stuff. And we talk to each other. It's lighthearted. Some people get pretty bent and we just stop talking to them. But they, in general, the biggest question they want to know is, dude, where do you get your news? How do you hear that? What makes you say that? You know, like, they're sure that what they know and what they're hearing about Trump is, you know, solid, rock solid, right on the money, and all this other stuff. So, but when they find out that something isn't true, they do their own homework about it, you know, and find it out. They usually they'll pretty much double down. Their end goal stays the same. So everything along the way that supports them is good, and if it stops supporting them, it doesn't change their end goal. So it's basically end justifies the means, kind of a thing, because the overall cause is noble enough to stay the course, you know?
In other words, it doesn't matter what the facts are. If the facts, you know, Maureen Dowd talked about in the 2016 election season that her friends on the left, if there was any negative news about Hillary, they would just, you know, draw the drapes, lock the door and turn the TV off, which is to say bury their heads in the sand. It doesn't matter what the facts are. I mean, they want the agenda done regardless of whatever the facts are. They'll sidestep whatever you just presented as fact, and they'll move on.
You know,
keep going.
I can understand right. that, Sean and Eric. I can understand that when you're talking maybe something like health care when they think, I can get something for free. In Canada, they're getting something for free, and it all works out, and there's no downside. And when you bring up the downside, they're saying, no, it doesn't happen. And when you bring up the fact, well, wait a minute, a monopoly never runs better than having competition, they don't want to hear anything about it. But at least I understand their motivation is they may be under a delusion, but they believe that they will get better health care under that system, and anything that gets in the way of that, they just want to push away.
Right.
When it comes to open border, it comes to open borders, where is the upside for any Democrat voter?
Right. Yeah.
And that's the one that gets to me is you look at something like open borders where they just completely and totally ignore it and don't really wish to discuss it. And when you bring it up about their party, they just no.
They talk 100% politics now, 120% when the election gets closer. Eric and Gary on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, welcome and good morning. Thanks so much for being here. So when I look at it, and I'm not saying that, look, on the right, I'm not saying that there isn't a tribalism that it doesn't exist on the right at times, and that there isn't a part of the demographic of Trump that isn't based on tribalism, that no matter what, he cannot do wrong. And of course, we know that isn't the case. Any human being in any type of institution, can do wrong. All human beings are fallible. So, and you and I have talked about the fact that, and we notice it, we make note of it. If you listen to this show, for example, when there's news items that are negative to Trump, they don't appear on FoxNews.com.
Right.
They do not appear on a prominent role where they might on another. For example, the tariffs, and when the tariffs are announced and the stock market drops, we have brought you the fact. I said, "Wow, it doesn't appear on FoxNews.com anywhere. Why would that not be the case? Because it would appear on any other day." So I'm not saying that there's not Republican media that doesn't try to put the best foot forward for the president and accentuate the positive. We believe people are smart enough to take all the negative of the Republican Party and all the negative of this president and still look at both parties and say, no, the best choice is still the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
We wish to look at these things. And that's the one thing that bothers me the most. What bothers me the most of the media in general are the you and I talk about the journalists being political activists. We're talk show hosts and we're opinionated. But to me, a political activist is somebody who will, no matter what, defend the group that they are representing.
Yes.
You and I have never done that. I will still vote. I will still vote for the party that will fulfill and put through the most of the agenda that I agree with. It doesn't mean all the agenda I will agree with. It doesn't mean I'll agree with their attitude. It doesn't mean I'll agree with their language. By the way, did you see, was it Politico or something, saying, why are all the politicians cursing these days?
We said this. What was it? Beginning of last year,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we did.
Who was it? Was it Gillibrand? Who was it that came out
right.
and was cursing heavy right. and then someone else was on board too.
And the president got bashed for a couple of weeks ago where he used hell again apparently a lot in this this last one, but when he used the GD word, which got to the note from religious people out there stating why did he use that particular word. I think back a year and a half ago we said why, because using a curse word gives you a image of urgency. That this is really important. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
that it does give. And at times, actually, really in our language, though, it really is true. Curse words will give something a sense of urgency. I know because a few times being disciplined by my father when I was young, those curse words put in the right place in the right context, made the statement a lot more intimidating.
Well,
but
certainly got your room clean, didn't you?
Certainly. You filthy slob, you.
Yeah.
Who brought you up? We certainly didn't. I have my biases, but I think you can look at both parties. And again, there's propaganda, and I mean, look, politics, part of politics is about propaganda. Part of politics is about promoting and accentuating the positive in yours, and you know, in the things that the people really like about your party, and the other stuff that they don't like about your party, really trying to soft sell that portion
right,
of it.
Right.
So we all know that goes on in politics. Yeah, we all do. But to me, there is much more vigorous debate in the Republican Party based on issues. There is today.
Yes.
Look, as you said earlier, no matter what you think about tariffs, good or bad, and there are people in our audience that believe tariffs are bad, and there are people that believe they're fantastic.
But we all want the same thing. We all want a great economy.
Right. But what's the debate about? The debate becomes about the actual economics of, okay, let's talk the specifics of it, right?
Yep.
Is that what happened with the Green New Deal? Did Democrats really debate the Green New Deal?
No.
No. They didn't. They made any excuse for it. Well, it's just an outline. It's a stupid outline, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
By the way, right. When Joe Biden talked about the fact, well, they may be a little bit more radical, but really intelligent to come up with the Green New Deal, I said at that point, I said, Joe Biden's been in he's been in politics for almost 50 years now. He knows it's BS. He knows it's a pile of crud. I don't want to use any profanity.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't need.
Yeah,
to
you're
use
not
profanity.
Running for office yet.
I'm not running for office. I don't need to. I don't need to do that in order to make my point. But he knows it's a pile of crud. Look, there's great debate about how the president's handling China and how the president's handling with his rhetoric inside the Republican Party. It's discussed all the time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know about and right now with the missile test from Kim Jong-un. Everybody's sitting back and waiting, okay, is the president taking the right tact on this or not? And there are people in the Republican Party stating both sides saying, well, we're not sure exactly where the president's going because it first started out with little Rocket Man, and now it's, it's really a great thing and the country's going to do great things economically. And look, when the president said that, we tore it apart. We said, don't try to sell that portion of it when he would come out and say, Kim Jong-un knows the potential of his country economically and how great it can be. He's not interested in the economy.
No.
The last thing he wants is a vibrant economy, because when you have a vibrant economy, to the extent that we know a vibrant economy, you need a lot more freedom, and that's the last thing that he would want. So we thought the president selling that was stupid based on the fact of understanding what a dictator of a brutal regime wants to have. They want to have an economy that is just as good, just good enough to keep him in power.
Yes.
That's what they want.
Right.
Sort of like what's going on in China right now. Mm-hmm. But then we brought up, and many other Republicans did, not only the benefits of a China free trade deal to the United States, but to China.
Yeah. Right.
You don't hear, do you hear this type of talk from liberals actually discussing and Democrats discussing the substance of their issues, or is it all memes and, I'll just say memes because bumper sticker mentality, nobody knows what a bumper sticker is anymore.
Yeah,
or is it all just meme mentality?
It really is. It's like some people on Facebook or Twitter, they want to post something but not have the debate about it. I wasn't interested in the debate. I just want to post something.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
When somebody posts something, somebody, what's that response for? I didn't want to have a debate.
I'm not looking for a debate.
Well, you post that. Well, I posted that because it's my feelings. Well, I had that happen one time.
Yeah.
And this is somebody who I went to college with. Guys who are pretty intelligent guy, but a very intelligent person. When I went to college with him, extremely intelligent, has been extremely successful. But I know he's more on the left. I believe I haven't checked out his posts in a while, but I know he's got to absolutely hate Trump.
Oh yeah,
with a passion. But it was a couple of years ago where he did something, and very nicely, I tore it apart because he's a good guy. Would never embarrass him publicly. And this is when I used to argue on social media, which I stopped doing because it takes too much time. It doesn't get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go for a conversation. If you do what we do here on the show, you can do a social media debate for 12 hours and still not cover any of it because the person you're talking to keeps changing the topic to something else
right.
when they can't win it.
Right.
Well, I made the great point, and that's what he wrote back to me. He goes, well, I just wrote with my opinion. I didn't want your opinion back from it.
I'm not willing to have the debate. Well, I don't want to have the debate.
Well, I said, well, can't you cut out the comment section then?
Right. Well, I mean,
as long as you put in the comment section, and I did it very nicely. I was not going to get angry at this guy.
Well, and yeah, if you're putting it out there, and it's a strong opinion, then you should know that it's going to be a debate. Why are people surprised about that?
I have no idea.
Why are they surprised by that?
That would be like us doing the show and someone calling up and go, what? Well,
I disagree. What?
What?
Well, we're just putting our opinion out. We're not. What do you mean you disagree? You can't disagree.
Well, guys, you putting out the phone number, isn't that the same thing as a comment section on Facebook or being allowed to comment on Twitter?
Put it out there and expect that no one can debate you on it.
There's somebody I know doing that right now. Not the guy I was talking about, but somebody else who's doing the same thing. This is somebody who wasn't political for a while and all of a sudden is becoming political, but in their explanation stating that they don't know that they're becoming political. They're just stating their own opinion. They really don't need to hear from anybody else. And it's real. I just love that. I get the biggest kick out of it. It's like, do you understand what social media is about? Do you fully comprehend it yet?
I suspect that people don't.
So looking at the whole Bill Maher thing and looking at the Rasmussen poll on the media, we do live in fascinating times, and it will be interesting to see because Maher's going to get bashed for it, and I'm sure his upcoming shows he's going to have to respond. Is he going to have to kiss posterior to get back in the good graces of the left? Because in the left, you got to hate Israel. The far left has to hate Israel.
I don't think he cares about it. I think he's just happy to get the attention for a show. You know, it's one of those where he's almost like he's trying to build street cred sometimes,
well,
you know.
He's got wimpy liberal opinions that really can't be backed up a ton of times.
Oh, yeah, sure. But I think he tries to buy that whole BS line. Man, I almost said the word. BS line about being an independent, you know. And he does it by, you know, throwing things out like this.
Now you and I are going to be thinking for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be making a strong statement and a curse word's going to come into our head. No,
we won't be cursing on the air.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye coming up on the top of the hour. Colin Kaepernick calls for the kneeling to start up again. Eric Reed, I guess, he's been one of the kneelers for the last 3 years, kneeled again. Thing is, nobody knew about it because the media really doesn't cover it anymore.
Right.
They really. I mean, somebody covered it finally. I saw it last night, but I actually watched part of that game, and no, there was no talk about it. No. Nobody even knew it even happened. So the NFL isn't promoting it whatsoever. We've talked about what the NFL is promoting, Jay-Z being in there, and all that did was inflame the left, as we told them it would. So we'll get to that coming up. Trump says Tim Cook from Apple made a compelling case against tariffs. And as you noticed over the weekend, you had Pete Navarro, you had Larry Kudlow all over the Sunday morning news shows saying, why is it that we're focusing on pessimism? Why can't we show optimism? Why is it? And I started laughing because I started thinking of you and I. Well, economics, we don't care about optimism. I don't care whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. That has nothing to do with it. What do the figures show? Some figures are good. Some figures are not so good.
Right, right.
It's that simple. It's figures. Nothing has to do with any feelings of optimism or pessimism at all.
I'm generally optimistic. Although we are doomed.
I'm an optimistic person who believes we're doomed, too.
Yes. we're positively doomed. Okay, fine.
But I'm an optimistic person. That's got nothing to do with how I look at the economy.
Oh.
So I'm wondering, and Kudlow was really pushing it on the Sunday morning news shows. Mm-hmm. Why can't we be an optimist? And I'm thinking to myself, Larry, stop it, please. Larry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking, Larry, stop it. This got nothing to do with it. There are some good, and we talked about it. We talked about the bad signs. We talked about the good signs that the consumer spending is still skyrocketing. I mean, that's really, really good.
Sure.
Business investment may be down, and we've talked about if hypothetically there was a recession, it probably would not be as bad as other recessions. Because it's not based on any type of bubble. It's simply based on, in my opinion, on uncertainty, which that uncertainty goes right back to government policy, whether it's us, China, Great Britain, Europe, and the whole Brexit thing going on. But that would be business investment, which isn't the same. It's just business is waiting for the right signal, which means we may not be in a recession. We may not get to a recession. But we're not going to have 3% growth.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. We say the world because you can stream us live, redeyeradioshow.com, all across the country, and of course our app. You can listen 24/7 to our podcast, so do it. And do it now. 866-90 of Red Eye. Let's start out. Here's Larry Kudlow yesterday. I believe this is from Fox News Sunday.
All
okay,
right.
Here he is.
A lot of the Wall Street firms have been marking up their economic growth forecast. I think we're in pretty good shape, and I want to just say, you know, we should not be afraid of optimism.
And that seemed to be a theme when he was on yesterday. We shouldn't be afraid of optimism. Everybody's a pessimist. We shouldn't be afraid of optimism. We should not be afraid of optimism. And, of course, Larry knows that's as Dad would say, that's poop for the peasants.
I don't know anybody that's afraid of optimism. Now, right. I don't like optimism. But it doesn't mean I'm afraid of it. It just means I'm a pessimist.
Well, Navarro was out full force, and so was Larry Kudlow yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they wish to promote a very, you know, optimistic view of where the economy is going. But again, as we'll keep repeating over and over again, I'm quite optimistic. Quite an optimist. I've always been an optimist. It has nothing to do whether I'm an optimist or pessimist, how I look at where the economy is right now. It's strictly, where are we? What is affecting the economy?
What are the numbers? What's the data?
Right. What does the data show? What do the numbers show? I think that you're smart enough, even though we've come to some conclusions on it, and some conclusions are we're probably in an unknown area here, because when you look at when people would ask, are we going to go into a recession? I don't know. I don't think that we're in one now. Last time we looked at all the numbers, when we this goes back about, what, 2-3 months ago, when there were some people saying we're already in a recession right now, and you and I said, no, we're not. We didn't see any economic numbers that showed that we were in a recession. We thought that growth might be 1.5 to 2. And, you know, if to look at the most negative numbers out there at that time, it ended up being we were at a 2.1. So we were looking at it as a worst possible scenario for the economy, and the best would be between 2 and 2.5, and it was a 2.1, so it was really right in the middle of what we thought it was going to be.
Right.
Again, it's I had a couple of emails last week. You guys are quite pessimistic. It's like it's not pessimism or optimism.
Right.
It's looking at what the numbers are. That's not optimistic or pessimistic. It's observing reality and what exists out there. Last week or the last 2 weeks are a couple of bad things and one good thing that came out of the economy, which makes us wonder where we could be. I mean, we might still be at, even with all the negatives that exist out there, because the consumer spending was up for July. It was extremely an optimistic way to look at it, which means we might still be at 2%.
Yep.
But the tariffs are hurting. And Navarro was out there saying nobody's getting hurt by the tariffs again yesterday, as the president was stating the fact that he had a great talk with Tim Cook, and Tim Cook was telling him the fact that he has to compete with Samsung.
Yeah, right.
And the president, oh, that's a good point. Yeah, and theirs are being made in South Korea and other places, so they're not affected by the tariffs. Oh, that's a great point. Well, the great point Tim Cook was making was it's going to be more expensive for the consumer to buy an Apple than it will a Samsung, which means the tariffs are affecting the prices and will affect the prices. As Navarro is on, this almost it's well, to me, it was simultaneously that I was reading and listening to audio of both stories at the same time. They might have not happened at the same time, but they happened within the same couple of hours. And you're just shaking your head saying, well, if you wonder why, then stop having, hey, Larry Kudlow, stop saying contradictory things.
Well, and I think that.
And I don't mean Larry, I mean Bo. Right. I mean, he was saying, you know, why can't we be optimistic? Well, when you say one thing and it contradicts, your administration says one thing and it contradicts completely what you just said a couple hours before, and it keeps happening day in and day out, you are bringing confusion to the markets, Larry.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Well, and it's not, again, I think that the messaging we've known for quite some time, it's just all over the place. What is it that the president can promote that works for him politically? It's not what deal there might be with China. It's not where the economy is going to go. It's what he has done already. So we look at unemployment rates. We look at the fact that consumer confidence and spending is still okay. We look at a number of things. I don't know the purpose, I guess, of having a Navarro and a Larry Kudlow out. Well, and Kudlow just sounds almost desperate in saying, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of optimism. Well, it's not even logical to say that phrase. No one fears optimism.
But, from one of the most logical economists out there.
Right.
That's the point.
No, you're right. No, that's the very important point that I left out, that I omitted. And that is, coming from him, there is so much to be optimistic about. And then he would have to point to that. And, of course.
And he did. He did. He, yeah. I mean, he... He pointed out the low unemployment. He pointed out the wage growth. Yeah. He pointed out the consumer spending.
Right.
And
didn't point out the manufacturing. Was it July or June? That was down to 50.4, which is the lowest since 2009. Didn't point out the service sector, which is the lowest that it's been in 3 years, and the worry about business investment. And as our analysis was, and it was interesting because we got a few negative comments in saying that we were quite pessimistic on the economy. And I just, as I've said to a couple of them, I said, you're completely misinterpreting what we have said. We're just telling you what the numbers are out there.
Right.
And our conclusion was we really don't know because we don't know now. And this goes back to even before the president rescinded part of the tariffs for September 1st and after, because we said both before, we said, well, we don't know what the new tariffs are going to do now coming up for the next couple of months. We didn't reach 3% growth last year.
Right.
We were at 2.5. Now, 2.5 is still fine. 2.5 is okay. It's not what the president said we were going to do.
It's not a recession, and it's not gangbusters.
Right. Right. It's still better than the Obama. If we stayed at 2.5, it would be better than the Obama administration, I believe, in the first half of this year with the 2.1 and, what was it, 3.1, so we're still at 2.5, 2.6. So that's still okay. You know, but we worry about it. We're very happy that consumer spending is up. By the way, we want the economy to do good, so I guess that makes us optimist. We're not a Bill Maher. We're not others out there that are stating, for example, that we hope we get into a recession so this president is gone.
Right.
By the way, that was an elitist statement, wasn't it? We talked about Bill Maher talking about to leave this week. But remember last week he talked about the fact that we should go into a recession in order to get rid of Trump. Nice when you're a millionaire, it's really nice in the elite to say, I hope people suffer.
Yeah, but it's nothing new. We know to expect that it is okay to wish for a recession.
Right.
If you look at the standard on the opposite side, if you look at the standard on the right, we want a good time. We want a good economy for everyone because it lifts everyone, puts everybody in a better place. And we don't care who the president is during that time.
Well, remember when Obama was president, there was the whole thing, do you want Obama to fail?
Right, yeah.
It's like, well, it's not that I want Obama to fail. I know that his policies will make it so the economy will not be good.
And
it's not a feeling or a wish list.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's what we live. We live in a feeling and I wish that it would be this way, or I wish that it's reality. What is their policy? Their policy are going to make it so the economy doesn't do good. It was that simple. We never had 3% growth for 1 year in the 8 years that he was president. And that is unprecedented in how many hundreds of years.
Yeah,
I know it goes back a long time that we haven't had, you know, that there was no 3% growth. But you look at this here, so it's okay. We're talking about the future and what the signs are. And again, the consumer spending's really good. The fact that manufacturing may be flat, and the service sector is the lowest in 3 years. Those are signs that worry us. Now, after that, the consumer spending came out. That made us feel good. Mm-hmm. So not sure where we're at. If you were to ask me, I would say probably we're – and again, I don't like doing this because there are so many factors that we don't know that are going on right now, or indicators that might have come out the last 3 weeks that we haven't seen, or the last month that haven't been released yet. But I would say, again, probably on the low end between 1.5 and 2.
Yeah.
And then the other end would be between 2 and 2. So probably somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 is where we are. And that's not bad, but when he put the new tariffs on, but then rescinded half of them, it showed that they're concerned about it. And now this is an administration that is, I'll tell you why they were out there yesterday. They're out there yesterday because they're concerned about what the tariffs will do to economic growth.
Yes. Yeah.
To be blunt, why they're out there.
Yeah.
They were out there yesterday. Kudlow and Navarro both out there yesterday saying we need to be optimistic, because they're afraid what the tariffs are going to do. I believe that there was panic in the White House when the president said tariffs on the $300 billion start September 1st. The reason they pulled back, economic growth.
At a time, especially on the consumer products that would be affected, at a
yes.
time when consumer products are really a huge part of the economy.
Well, isn't it interesting that the same week that they pulled the tariffs off on what would hurt consumer spending is when we find out that consumer spending is the one thing that's giving them optimism.
Right. Yeah, it's floating the boat right now.
It's floating the boat.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense when you think about it. This isn't rocket science for anybody to figure out. But for Kudlow, that's the thing. We really, for people that don't know, we really like Larry Kudlow.
Oh, yeah.
We agree with Larry Kudlow.
Sure.
Larry Kudlow, we were very happy when the president put him in his administration. The problem with the president is he doesn't listen to Larry Kudlow enough. So for us, it's tough to see a Larry Kudlow out there not talking economics, but preaching optimism.
Yeah, right. And
economists in my book don't preach optimism. They talk about the figures and the numbers.
You look at the data.
You look at the data. So we shall see. We shall see.
Look, we know the position that Larry is in.
Yes, we do.
And so, but the fact is that there, you can still focus on that, I think, and have a consistent message within, at least within his within his purview. I was, to borrow from Mueller, that's within his purview to look at positive numbers and not have to go outside and anywhere outside of that at all. Navarro is a completely different picture. We get Navarro. Larry Kudlow is not Navarro.
No, they're on the opposite end. They're polar ends of how economists think.
Yep.
He's a protectionist. Larry Kudlow is not.
Right.
So, like I said, we'll see. And what was the other thing? It just popped in my mind, popped out. I'll get to it. It will come back to me.
Yes, I'm sure.
In the next few minutes.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Oh, and the other thing, I know what I wanted to say that popped out of my mind. I won't say whether it's a major or minor sense of urgency because I don't know, but it seems like there was at least some kind of sense of urgency to restart the talks with China.
Yeah, I saw that over the weekend,
right.
Yeah.
So I look at that and say, okay, there is some sense of urgency inside there. And I think the president fluctuates. It seems like the president, I don't know about if you notice this, but it seems like the president fluctuates between Navarro and Kudlow.
Yeah.
Like at times he's drawn to Navarro and then sees the negative impact that it might have in the economy and then becomes more of a Kudlow president and then moves back to more a Navarro president.
What it feels like is that the president is a protectionist in spirit, that he wants to protect our economy but not go the full measure of impacting the economy negatively. He uses it as, I don't know if he believes it's only a negotiating ploy or if he believes that it actually does work, but it sounds like, based on his actions, because you look at the numbers and they are real. Again, we're not in a recession right now. I don't know if we're headed to a recession, But the fact of the matter is, I think the president sees both sides, because I think at heart, he is more of a protectionist. He's more of an isolationist when it comes to geopolitical matters. These are things where, look, make America great again. That's the guy. That's, you know, that's what he's been promoting. We shouldn't go over, and he's been saying this for years. We shouldn't go to war and then help other countries, or other countries are there with us, and them not pay their share. You know, he's been saying that for years. Well, I think when it comes to the economy, I think it's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, we want to protect American jobs first, but it's the how. It's the details that come into play that I think change.
And one thing, when Cutter was talking about the sense of optimism, and it seemed like he was projecting that out at the media, that the media needs to do it, because we said, well, look, optimism has nothing to do with how you look at an economy. He was talking to the consumer, just so people know.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing he wants to say. Everything's going to be optimistic. Go out and spend.
Right. Here's your forecast.
This could be one of the most rain-free days of the summer season thus far, according to the surface map. We're totally dry in the west of the Rockies. The fire conditions becoming more prevalent due to the low humidity and the lack of precip. We won't see that monsoonal moisture flow into the desert southwest become a big factor today. Along the Gulf Coast, things are drying out after some spotty showers over the weekend. Then along the eastern seaboard, we'll finally get some movement out of a stationary front pushing off to the east. The nation's heartland that saw some severe weather last week is dry for the most part. We'll see that low-pressure area in northern Canada continue to sweep some showers into the nation's heartland. Spotty showers throughout the day for places like central Illinois and Indiana. Most of the showers today associated with the garden variety late afternoon thunderstorms. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Show in your lair? Just ask Alexa to play Red Eye Radio. Then say, Alexa, volume 10.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I'm just reading about all the Kaepernick stuff and the whole Jay-Z and Kaepernick apparently, you know, furious, and all the different tweets that have made it out there, including Kaepernick's girlfriend and everything else. And I'm reading this headline here. Kaepernick seemingly takes a shot at Jay-Z on Twitter over moving past kneeling comments. You and I said that there's Jay-Z. The NFL gets Jay-Z to say, we've moved on past kneeling. Oh, man.
Wow.
You knew this was just going to blow up. But here's the point, because I'm hearing, wow, Jay-Z did this just for the money. What about Kaepernick? Remember, he had the lawsuit against the NFL. He settled out of court. Everything was sealed. Yeah. If he truly cared about the cause, why didn't he continue the lawsuit?
Well, I mean, you
asked that question at the time.
You would be fighting for
social justice.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yes.
Not money. Oh, wait a minute. Please tell me this wasn't about money. Really? Oh, well, that's too bad. The NFL. Who can we get that has more money than us and is more powerful than us to take on this whole thing? How about Jay-Z? Yeah, he has more money than the NFL.
Let me ask you this. Did this just destroy Kaepernick's chance of coming back?
Yeah.
Everything. So. And I say this because of a couple things. Remember, he stated, here's the point. They're getting on Jay-Z's case for stating that we're past kneeling now. But remember Kaepernick, a year and a half ago? Over a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Because he's been out now. How long has he been out for? 2 years? Two full years?
Is it two full years has or three? Been? It's two full years,
yeah,
I think.
It started three. Well, yeah, because annealing started 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's been out for two full years. Remember, after about 2 months that he was out, he said, if I came back, I wouldn't kneel anymore. We've made the point.
Well, then if you're promoting the kneeling again, then he's out.
So the kneeling continued in support of Kaepernick, but he himself stated at one point that he would stop kneeling. Well, now he can't come back. If he comes back, I mean, there's all that rumor that Philadelphia, even though nothing's happened on that front, there was even a story from a few hours ago, there's a list of seven teams that could potentially use Kaepernick's services. There's always, you know, news items like this that are always out there. Mm. But who wants him now? Because if he comes back now, doesn't he have to start the whole kneeling thing again?
Yeah, I think so.
How could he come back and stop? Does everybody stop? So if you stop, if Kaepernick comes back, well, then Jay-Z was right. You have moved past kneeling. What is it? Can you guys message right?
No, they can't.
Can we message this thing, please?
No, there's no way. You can't win. How do you message? Well, if you join in to somebody else's cause, battle, there's no way to pick a side. There is no way to pick a side. The NFL thought, oh, we'll just get everybody to kneel. A sign of unity. Nope. No. No, it's not your battle, and you don't belong. You don't understand, and you're not going to get it done. And if you think you're going to do that and then close the door and everybody goes home, you're also wrong. Not going to end. Not in today's world. Used to be, you need to support our parade. Okay? Then it was, you need to march in our parade. Okay. And now it's, this isn't your parade. How dare you? Okay, I won't march in the parade. How dare you not march in our parade? You can't win. There's no winning. And that is basically the craziness that is the far left. The activist protester right now just only wants to protest. If you agree with them, well, then you're not helping. If you disagree with them, you're also not helping.
I was reading this from Business and Politics, Zachary Lehman's column, talking about the fact that, remember that Jay-Z had told reporters that he had spoke with the quarterback, and the girlfriend came out and said, no, that never happened. Because she said, this is a lie. Colin never spoke to Jay-Z and the NFL ahead of the deal being done. They never included him in any discussion. And they have in this article, an anonymous source allegedly close to Kaepernick actually told The Atlantic that a conversation did take place at one point between the rapper and the former athlete, but it was not a good conversation.
Mm.
The NFL doesn't want this to come back.
No.
They don't want to relive 3 years ago.
No. They want to close the door. Come on, they hired Jay-Z.
Do you know how much television money is for each team now? As of last year, I remember just a few years ago, it seems like 10 years ago, it was like $80 million they got from television, each team. Hmm. You know, each team every year from the television deal, $255 million.
Yeah.
Before they put a fan in the seats, sell one piece of merchandise, any other radio deals that they have, any sponsorships that they have at the stadium, $255 million they pull in each year just from television alone. They will be getting ready for a new contract be negotiating that here in the next. It has to start here in the next year, I believe.
Right.
If preliminary discussions aren't going on already, and TV ratings are still down from where they were 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now they went up. They went back up a little bit last year. They went up. They didn't go down last year, but they were still down from what they were. That's never happened. I don't believe since that New York Giants game, the one, was it 19, end of 1959, that they considered the game that was on TV that that really brought football to the public in the United States, that since that happened, I don't believe there's ever been a year where the audience for football on TV has gone down.
Hmm.
So you signed, they signed 10-year deals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I don't know that the so you bring Jay-Z in. What do you expect to do? You really want to, even if you know full well it's not going to shut the door. It's because it's not. You look at it and say, well, it kind of mainstreams it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Right. I mean, the angst, the all of it. You give it a legitimate standing, sort of, through what? I guess a PSA thing, some kind of social media thing with Jay-Z during the season. So you soften the tone because Jay-Z is extremely popular. Well, if you're Kaepernick, you have to believe, I mean, you've just been disrespected completely. Because regardless of the Nike deal or anything else out there, that Jay-Z is still bigger than you are, and you're the reason for all of it. You're the entire beginning of all of it if you're Kaepernick, and you've been just kind of moved over. You've been demoted to the backup quarterback.
You've been replaced.
You've been replaced.
And then the whole thing, I mean, the last week or so, because the anniversary came up of when he first kneeled and all that, and he was highlighting it, and then the NFL came out with all of this stuff, and there was still, until the Jay-Z story was really big, that Philadelphia was interested in signing Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know, that they've got quarterback problems, and Philadelphia was really interested in doing it. So who did they sign? 40-year-old Josh McCown. And there's a headline in sportscasting.com. Eagles signed 40-year-old Josh McCown, not 31-year-old Colin Kaepernick. Wow. Nobody's going to sign him now.
No. No. No.
There might have been, there was some hope. I actually thought an NFL team, after Trump came out and said, oh, I'd love to see him back.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see if he came back. If he still got what it takes, he should be allowed to come back to the NFL, which a lot of people went, oh, where do we go here? Boy, that was disarming. How can we criticize Trump at this point? You really couldn't. No, did anybody challenge that one at all? That one just went, no. Trump said that, and it just, so it was like, I thought to myself, somebody might do that. And then the anniversary started coming up, and Kaepernick was talking about the fact that he should be back. And when the Jay-Z thing happened, I just said, there's no way. They're not going to sign him because he's got to respond somehow. And he did over the week. You know, he did over the soon afterwards. And now, you know, his girlfriend really responded and attacked Jay-Z. And at that point, I went, well, that's not going to happen. Then you saw a few of the players that have always kneeled again and said, we support Kaepernick. Well, the last thing they're going to do now is bring back Kaepernick because now he would be forced to kneel. Why? He'd be forced to kneel in order to show the oppression, not of institutional racism in law enforcement, but because of the racism and institutional racism of the NFL.
Yes.
So there's no way he's going to get signed. So the Eagles signed 40-year-old Josh McCown.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see, again, there's not going to be any satisfaction for the cause itself. There's not going to be any satisfaction for Kaepernick.
I do think it's exactly what we said a few years ago, that the owners of the NFL understand. They saw what happened in NASCAR.
Hmm.
They cannot allow that to happen in NFL football.
And well,
they cannot have that kind of an erosion of audience. And I thought it, I thought, for example, in 2000, 2001, when I was actually working at our flagship WBAP, and we did a ton of NASCAR stuff, I went, wow, there was talk, will NASCAR end up beating the NFL? I didn't think that would happen. But it was amazing how powerful they were.
Huge.
And what they could draw. The NFL understands that. I believe they now understand. They did, but now I believe they all understand. They have to build a sense of community around every NFL team. That's what it's about. It is not about protest. It's about unity. It's about coming together. It's about everybody being positive. And that's what they want to do, which is why they put Jay-Z in there, because Jay-Z was able to say something that no one else could say.
Yes.
And that was, we've moved past the kneeling now. Who else in the NFL could have gotten away with saying that? Nobody.
No one.
Had to be somebody from the outside.
Yes. Which is, that's what you right. do. You separate it by getting basically a third party involved.
You get Jay-Z.
And not just any third party, someone who's tremendously popular.
No, Kid Rock could not have done it.
No. 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 And no.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the NFL this year, though, because what will they do with the whole Jay-Z thing? Hmm. Will he respond? Will the NFL respond? Because, you know, Kaepernick and others are going to be pounding on him. I know TMZ talking to different rappers out there, some who are very, very supportive of Jay-Z now, saying it's time to move on, it's time to do more positive things out there. And as you and I said all the time, this is when you talk about the radical left, which is what Kaepernick's about. Kaepernick is about promoting Marxism and socialism and all that. The revolt always goes on. There is never a solution. There's never a positive capitalistic response to anything. And you and I had gone through when the whole thing started 3 years ago. We said, okay, let's delve into this. We remember when he started talking about Cuba, how this went beyond the police, how this went to the entire system and the capitalist system that we live under and the democracy, and we should be more like Cuba. We remember him being taken to task by the Cuban-American Miami sports writer who just pounded on Kaepernick for his ignorance on so many issues here. So you just wonder, whether this is the end of Kaepernick.
Right.
Whether he is just marginalized himself, whether he cannot beat this system.
Well, because you're building, essentially by doing this with Jay-Z, you're building a buffer, right?
Yes.
Kaepernick's really not the leader of it. It's now about, well, pop culture and others, you know, getting together and having a discussion, and Kaepernick's not even in the room.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.